One mile on you. Such a tremendous accomplishment, especially living in times as we're living in now. Churches are falling by the wayside. I should know, I've been in this a minute, and from coming from Mississippi, it means churches everywhere, and it's sad to see those churches are no longer operating because of the times that we're living in. But there's a word this morning. It's a word that the Lord gave me to encourage not only myself, but to encourage this church as it is looking back in order to move forward. It's tough. It's tough to do that, especially living in a time where 14-year-olds are shooting up schools. 14-year-olds should be in the streets riding bicycles, but they are. It's hard to carry on when we face a reality that, and the scary thing is, we don't know where it's going to hit next. The world is looking for somebody with some answers. They're not going to get it from CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox. They're not going to get it there, because they don't have the answers. You know who has the answer? This church and the other churches around this nation is fighting to keep forward in a world that's hard to do. This morning, the scripture, I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Then I'm going to turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. I said 7 through 11, but I'm going to read 4 through 11 real quickly for your hearing. And you have found Ephesians 4 and 11. You say amen. Amen. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become the mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each person does its work. Turn over with me 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and go back a couple to verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 reads this way. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, healing by that one Spirit. To another, miracles, working powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of those same tongues. All these are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he gives them all to each one just as he determines. Let's pray. Father, you know when we are in need of. You saw this time before we even stepped into reality to even see what's really going on. Speak through me. We're living in the last days, Lord, and your people need a word from you. I don't know what to say. You say it through me. Somebody have come for one reason, and somebody has come for another reason, but we all need you. We need to see you for who you are. Will you visit us? Would you speak to hearts sitting in seats? Would you speak to those that are living lives of quiet desperation and nobody knows what's going on except you? But you're a loving Father, and through this word, you're going to send somebody some comfort and let them know that you are still in control no matter what we see, no matter what we experience, that you are Lord of lords and King of kings, and nothing would ever change that. Bless your name, bless your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chuck Swindoll writes, a bazaar was held in a village in northern India. Everyone brought his wares to trade and sell. One old farmer brought a whole covey of quail. He had tied a string around one leg of each bird. The other ends of the strings were tied to a ring which fit loosely around a central stick. He had taught the quail to walk dolefully in a circle, around and around, like mules at a sugarcane mill. Nobody seemed interested in buying the birds until a devout Brahmin came along. He believed in the Hindu idea of respect for all life, so his heart of compassion went out to those poor little creatures walking in their monotonous circles. I want to buy them all, he told the merchant, who was elated. After receiving the money, he was surprised to hear the buyer say, now, I want you to set them all free. What's that, sir? You heard me. Cut the strings from their legs and turn them loose. Set them all free. With a shrug, the old farmer bent down and snipped the strings off the quail. They were freed at last. What happened? The birds simply continued marching around and around in a circle. Finally, the man had to shoot them off, but even when they landed some distance away, they resumed their predictable march, free, unfeathered, released. Yet, they kept going around in circles as if they were still tied. Swindoll said, until you give yourself permission to be the unique person God has made you to be, and to do the unpredictable things grace allows you to do, you will be just like that covey of quail, marching around in vicious circles of fear, timidity, and boredom. End quote. Remember when the year started? Remember the phrase that the leadership of this church came up with? Anybody remember that phrase? Giving God more and what? Can I ask you a question? How's that going? Did you quit on it? You see, I read that story because that story hit home. It hit home because that's what we do. We just like those quail. We're living in a monotonous boring life cycle. We've been cut free through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the problem is, with being cut free, we've been shackled for so long that we have the habit of coming back to the same old stuff. How is that going with you? Is you giving God more? Have you went back to the same old stuff you did the year before? Every Sunday, the pastor preached the word, Pastor Chris preaches the word, and he shoo us out of here, back to our lives. And we find ourselves, we go back and we land in the same old spot, walking around in circles. Just like this. Living lives of quiet desperation. When God has set us free to do one thing only. To give an answer to a world that is getting worse by the second. As I speak, somebody just doing something that you have gotten callous to. You remember the time when crime used to make us hold our breath? Like, how could that happen? Now we like, it's just another day. Jackson, could you put the vision statement up? Back in 1995, I believe this is when the pastor started. The Lord led Pastor Chris to start this church. Pastor Chris told us many times that it wasn't his idea to start this church. He wanted to do something. He wanted to be a Christian rapper. And Pastor Chris, I don't blame him because I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do this. I had other stuff I wanted to do. I said that to say this. If the Lord led the pastor to start this church in 1995 and he gave him these visions or gave the leadership these visions with the pastor, whose idea was it to be on this mission? Right. So you know what that means? You don't know what it means. This vision, actually, Pastor Chris, is biblical. This vision and the scriptures that I gave you is actually biblical. God has given us the power to experience Him. God has given us the power to explain Him. God has given us the power to expand His diverse kingdom. Let me show you. Turn back to Ephesians. Verse 11 through 13. It was He who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets. Apostles and prophets, these gifts were the foundational gifts. These gifts were the gifts that God gave the people of God to get the church started, to get it going, to get it up and running, okay? So I would tell this to somebody. I don't really see or hear about many prophets in Tennessee, but back in Mississippi, there's a lot of prophets. People call themselves prophets and, apostles. Especially apostles. But in order to be an apostle, you have to have seen the risen Christ. Okay? In order to be an apostle, you have to have witnessed the resurrection. And in order to be an apostle, you have to have the ability to do signs and wonders. So these gifts, these foundational gifts, were actually the gifts that were given back in the old time in order to get all of this started. Okay? So the first point is God gave the believer power so that the body may experience Him intimately at its fullest level. How is He going to do that? He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to do what? To prepare the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Have you ever been to church and you left the church, before you got to church, you were feeling awful? Have you ever been to church and you left the church and you feel like you got a pick-me-up? What happened? The gifts that God has given each member of whatever, either this body or some church down the street, God has given us those gifts in order for us to experience them. The only way, I know we can experience God in other ways in our personal time, but the main way that God wants us to experience him is where? In the body. Okay? Now, God gave us those gifts to do one thing and one thing only. To glorify him. Amen. Listen to what Blackaby said. I love Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby was one of the guys that I started to learn on. I took some of his classes, and he's a very, very practical guy. This is what Henry Blackaby said. But before I read that, I want to say this. Each person that's a part of Strong Tower Church, God has given you a specific gift. God has given you that gift in order to serve the body. In order to serve the body, you got to be in the church doing the work what God has called you to do in serving the body, okay? God didn't give us those gifts so that we can say, I can preach, I can teach, I can do all this stuff in order so that the glory can be put up on that person. God gave us those gifts so that the glory can be put back up on him, so that the church can experience him. That's the reason why when we come to church, you feel so warm and fuzzy after you leave, because the Spirit of God has visited his people. And when we're operating in those gifts, we feel warm and fuzzy. Listen at what Blackaby said. Because God wants to take you in ever-increasing measures to know him. And the only way that you can know him is by experiencing him. So he's going to ask you to go with him. Listen. He's going to ask you to go with him in dimensions that require more faith, more activity that you have ever used before. Otherwise, you will never grow in your faith in him. The only way that you can grow in your faith in him is to accept the next assignment, which is always greater than the previous one. You get that? Is it hidden with you? Don't ever feel that you would get to the place where you never be scared half to death. End quote. And a body this size, I dare say that someone sitting here that God has gifted, and you were sitting on that gift because you are so scared of what he's going to tell you. You see, the gift that God has given you is not for you. The gift that God has given you is to edify the body. It's for the body to experience him. The reason you feel the way you feel around the pastor or pastor's wife or Pastor Jewel is because of the Spirit of God, or because of the gifts that they have that God allowed them to use to minister unto his people. Let me tell you a story. Before I moved here, God was working with me, and he was talking to me. He was telling me, Marlon, it's time to go. Remember that New Horizon Church back in Jackson, Mississippi? Every time I left that church, I used to always tell my wife, I said, baby, I don't know what it is, but I feel like God's telling me it's something I need to be doing, but I don't know what it is. So, of course, I say, well, I just chalk it up like, you know, I'm just feeling that. Everybody feel that kind of way. You know, maybe somebody ate. Maybe I need to go home and eat. But guess what? The next Sunday, the same feeling come. Pam, God is telling me I'm not feeling something. Wasn't nothing wrong with New Horizons Church. Wasn't a thing wrong with it. Wasn't a thing wrong with Bishop Crudup. But it was something else that God wanted me to do. Question. And God is asking someone in this body to step up and do something that you don't want to do because you're scared to death. What if I had said, God, you know what? I'm just going to just keep on feeling these feelings because I'm not going to bed. Because you know what? I was scared to death. I didn't know anybody in Nashville. I told my wife, we're moving to Nashville. What's in Nashville? I don't know. God told me to move up there. I don't have a clue what's up here. I don't know anybody. Is anybody here feeling that way? Anybody? I'm going to give you another example. Before I got called to preach as a deacon, and talking in front of people is not one of my strong suits. I would rather be sitting back in a corner somewhere. This is not what I want to do. So when God went to dealing with me about preaching, I was fine being a deacon because I was just serving and just going sitting down. But one day, I visited my wife's mother's church 3 hours away, 3 hours. And I was praying. I'm asking God, God, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to tell me. You have to tell me because this is not something I want to do. Well, guess what? We visited the mother one weekend. One Sunday, I think they was having, you know, in the Baptist church, they have the hand of fellowship, where every person that comes in, all the leaders stand up. You got to go around. You got to shake the leader's hand. So guess what? I stands up, and it's my turn to come around and shake the leader's hand. And her name is Antrish. I can see her face smiling now. When I got to Antrish, I was going around shaking hands. I got to Antrish, and with that angelic smile, right before I got to her, she smiled like this. I shook her hand, and the only thing she said was, "What are you waiting for?" Hadn't talked to Antrish, hadn't tell her what I was struggling with, nothing of that sort. So what was God doing? God was having me experience him in the midst of his people. That was personal. God wanted us to experience him in the midst of his people. But in order for us to experience him like he needs to experience him, you has got to step into whatever God is calling you to do. Something he wants you to do, and you're not doing it. An example. Let me be practical if you don't understand this. Anybody know about the Justice League? About her Justice League? You got Batman. You got Superman. You got Wonder Woman. Help me out, Pastor. You got the Flash. Yeah. You know, the Justice League is not a league that is based upon themselves. They're not put together to be selfish, okay? The Justice League is put there for somebody else. Like the church is put here for somebody else. The church is not put here for us, per se. The church is put here for other folk. What if one day, I don't know how the Justice League do it. What if one day the Justice League was having a meeting? And Batman shows up, Superman shows up, Aquaman shows up, Wonder Woman don't show up. So Batman stands up and say, "Where's Wonder Woman?" Wouldn't it be funny that they would go out and see Wonder Woman in the store shopping when they should have been at the meeting? And Wonder Woman, like, I didn't feel like it. This is my day. I just didn't feel like it today, Batman. I mean, what you gonna do? And guess what? You know who don't feel like it? Me, sometimes. You know who don't feel like it? You, sometimes. But guess what? I always have to remember, I titled this message, Looking Back in Order to Move Forward. A lot of times, we got to look back, see what was started in 1995, because remember, it wasn't Pastor Chris that started this. It wasn't his idea. Remember, he wanted to be a rapper, right? So whose idea was it? So you got to look back and remind yourself of why we're meeting in the first place. Y'all don't want to hear this, do you? This is not an anniversary message. I'm sorry. This is... I wanted to preach something else, but I couldn't get any traction with anything else. I couldn't get any traction. And Pastor Chris told me about this months ago. Couldn't get no traction. I said, well, Lord, let me preach this. Nothing. Which tells me that somebody in this church, you scared out of your mind. But God wants his people to experience him, and you holding it up. Because he has given you something that nobody else in this church can do. The Justice League can't be the Justice League without Wonder Woman. Nobody in the Justice League can do what Wonder Woman can do. Because nobody else has a superpower. God has given you something that nobody else in this church can do except you. I don't know who you are. It ain't my business. I'm just telling you what he told me to tell you. Okay? Let me move on. Next point. God gave the believer power so that the body may experience him. God gave the believer power to explain his glorious kingdom that his people may know how to live in it and according to it. Look at verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed to and fro by the ways and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Hold your finger there and turn back. This is this part talking about explaining the kingdom of God. Explain, we experience God by meeting together and everybody doing what they need to be doing with the gifts that God has given them. But also, God wants us through the members of this church or members of anybody or any church that's called itself, you know, Christ followers, to explain, to help people to understand what are we doing here. What God has called us to do, what the Bible say, how's the Bible saying it? You're not going to get it from CNN. You're not going to get it from teacher at school. People are looking for the people in the church to explain to them, why are you smiling when things are so bad? Because we got to give people the truth. John 10, I'm going to show you something. John 10 and 10. Watch this. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you see that little word life? The Greek word for life is zoe. Okay, zoe. The writer, John, did not write Psycho. He wrote Zoe. Zoe is eternal. It's an eternal form of life, okay? Psyche is a biological or physical or earthly form of life, okay? So he said that I have come that they may have this eternal form of life. When I first read that passage, you know the first thing I thought about? Cars, houses, clothes, money. Look at it again. And play like I just didn't tell you that. Okay? The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Especially that part where it said the full. Wow, he want me with a lot of stuff. So he also said, I have come to give them life, but I come to give it to the full. The NIV says full, but I like the way the New King James says it. It says abundant life. So the abundant life, the Greek word is perissos. Perissos is a super overflowing, more than enough kind of abundance. Have you ever been to I'm going to explain this, be practical. You ever went to a Chinese buffet and they fixing the plates, and they keep on piling on and piling on and piling on and piling on, and then they try to close it, and it kind of look like this. You experienced that? God say, I come, Jesus say, I come to give you that kind of life, but not the way that you think. Not cars, clothes, houses, because if that was the case, some of the most godless people that I know don't have that. And if that was what Jesus was talking about, he's cheating my godly grandmother. Because she is so godly that, and I look around and just look and say that, you know what? She is poor. But she is so godly. So that means that God is cheating my mind. So evidently, that must not be what that scripture is talking about. It can't be what it's talking about. Because if it did, we had that kind of stuff. Not to say that any of that kind of stuff is wrong, because God do give stuff. But where our minds need to shift, it's off the physical onto the spiritual. And it's going to take you getting out of the habit of doing that. Because like I said, the first time I read that, the first thing that went to my mind was material stuff. Stuff that the devil can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. But this kind of stuff, Jesus is talking about, the devil can't come in and steal, kill, and he can't do it. Let me show you the kind of eternal life that Jesus was talking about. And I'm going to take you to, some say it's the longest verse in the Bible. Some say it's the second longest verse in the Bible. Now, of course, we have Bibles that help us to kind of break it down and all this kind of stuff. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Ephesians 1. Turn back to Ephesians and just go over a page. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Now, and it'll kind of look like it's 14 sentences, right? Guess what? It's not what that is. That's one long sentence that Paul written. So that means that Paul must have been so excited about this eternal kind of life that Jesus was talking about, he just couldn't stop writing. In our Bibles, it looked like periods. It looked like different sentences. But this is the eternal life that Jesus was talking about. And it has nothing to do with the physical world. I'm going to read this real fast. And kind of one breath so that you can get the sense of what I'm saying. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made us known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we were the first to hope Christ, that we be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal of the precious Holy Spirit, who is the deposit, guarantee, and our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Pastor Chris, I'm not understanding why it's not more excitement. Serious. Because this has nothing to do with the physical. I just read you spiritual blessings in heavenly realms that is yours right now. Remember I told you about explaining the glorious kingdom of God? God giving us teachers and all this kind of stuff. This is the part where teachers come in at, to help you explain. I don't have time right now. I don't have time. Maybe Pastor Chris will do it one day. But God has given you, and verse 8 said that he not only given this, he had lavished this on you. You not only have it, but you have it in floods. Go home and think about that. But see, we can't get excited about that because our minds is down here. Our mind is on the suka, the earthly, physical type, the ups and downs of life. That's why every now and then you got to get away on vacation so that you can get away from all of this junk. Our minds is on this kind of stuff down here. But Jesus said that I come to give you Zoe, a life that you don't know nothing about until you get in my word and understand what you already have. You got it, and you got it in floods, in stages. It's all yours. Is anybody getting this? Because y'all looking back at me like, Pastor Chris, I'm trying to tell them the best way I can. You don't understand how blessed you are in the heavenly realm. Because we too busy focused on the garbage in this world. Compared to heaven, that's what it is. Because Paul said, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Now you can think about it, but you'll never come up with it until you see it with your eyes when you go to heaven. Because the best thing I'm thinking about, don't even compare to what he got for you and what is yours right at this very moment. Y'all getting this? I tell you what. Sign up for a polished training, and I can go into you a little bit deeper to help you understand. How about that? I explain it. Because it's so much more than you're going to profit and understand. Last thing. God gave the believer power to expand his kingdom. Turn back with me. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him who the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Look at the last part. As each part does its work. So how's the kingdom that's going to expand? You getting out of bedside Baptist and pillarside Methodist and coming into the church for everyone who's watching me that's online, who is able to come to church and don't come because of whatever reason, you name something. The only way I know we can expand the kingdom in other ways also by joining, but there's other ways too we can expand the kingdom by living the life in front of people. Yeah. If we live in the life by experiencing, by using our gifts and helping people to understand God's kingdom, what's going to come naturally? You're going to be so excited about what God is doing, you don't even have to say anything. Your life is going to be so exuberant and so bright that people are going to start coming to you and ask you, why are you like you are? And other times, you got to give the gospel. You got to tell people why you are this way. You got to give it to them because he has called you for this purpose. He has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light so that other people can experience the same thing. But wouldn't it be selfish of Superman if he didn't do what he's supposed to do when his father sent him from Krypton? Is it Krypton? Told him to go and do what he's supposed to do. Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be even more of a shame when God has called you, equipped you, given you a superpower, a supernatural power to do what he told you to do, and for some reason you just won't do it? Put that back up for me, Jackson. By the way, me and Jackson is the only one with, and my wife with these white shirts. Now, I don't see nobody else. And he said, see somebody in the back, or another. He said, we're the only one that you know, that look good. Everybody else, he said, I see another one over here, too. But listen, my time is almost up. You got to look back all the way back in 1995 and understand why God has you in this church. I know I want to do something else too, but God's plan is so much better. And Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this time. Pray for somebody to make a decision to get back where they need to be or come to the other side, come out of darkness to the light. You're the only one who can soften stony hearts at this moment. I ask that you would do that. The only way they're going to come is that you got to pull them, you got to draw them, Lord. Please do that by your power, your grace, your love, your mercy right now. In Jesus' name, amen.